Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Oh boy, it's going to be hot today.
Oh boy, it's going to be hot.
Next few days going to be super hot.
Mm-hmm.
I think we better dust off the useful tips in hot weather file.
You mean like stay hydrated?
Stay yes. hydrated and dress appropriately.
What do you mean?
Well, dress lightly.
Like a bikini?
Yeah, well, sure. That would be a sight.
For who?
Ow, my eyes. Hot weather tip number one, avoid dehydrating fluids. Alcohol, schwani, coffee, tea, and caffeinated drinks can hurt more than they can help.
That is true. That is true. I will concur.
That's why I have a lovely glass of ice-cold water today.
I'm going to go for some water now. I've had my my fill of coffee, and I'm going to go for some water here.
Ice-cold?
Mm-hmm. You are enjoying that, I take it?
I'm enjoying it immensely.
So refreshing.
In fact, I'm going to have another sip. I'm enjoying it so much.
I was waiting for that.
That's good stuff.
Waiting for the exhale.
Delicious.
There.
This is all that's on WGN right now.
For the next 4 hours, this is going to be...
This is the entire programming that's on WGN. The weirdest song ever to start the show today.
Who is that?
Betty Davis.
Betty Davis?
Yeah. To do... From the movie Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Oh, yeah.
She and Joan Crawford were little child stars. And this was... this was Baby Jane's signature song, Her Letter to Daddy. That would be a nice song for Father's Day. And I heard it, and I started laughing.
Yeah, I'm going to use this.
I thought, this is a weird song to start the day. Let's start the day with that weird song. The musical refrain. You know who's playing the piano in this scene? Actor Victor Buono.
Oh, who was also King Tut on Batman.
There you go. There's my schwani. There, there's my schwani that knows stuff that only he and I know.
What was it last week? Oh, it was the June Taylor Dancers.
We had a lot of response. It's so interesting what responses we get from different things on the show each week. Last week was I got a lot of texts and emails about the June Taylor Dancers. We made a stupid joke that pretty much lasted 4 hours. And
into the next day, as a matter of fact.
Well, really, for days, people were saying, I knew who the June Taylor Dancers were, including Bob Surratt, by the way, the following morning.
Right.
Which was funny. And then the other thing was the burger suggestion that toward the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause we had a big burger fest on my cooking segment last Wednesday. A burger with peanut butter, jelly, grape jelly, and sriracha pepper sauce.
Interesting.
Peanut butter, jelly, and sriracha. And when the listener suggested it to me, I went, yuck, that sounds awful.
Then you tried it?
And the listener said, I'm telling you, give it a try. It's delicious. So I tried it. It was delicious.
Was it really?
It was delicious.
Hmm.
Light layer of peanut butter, light layer of jelly. I used grape jelly. And
like you would on a regular peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Like a PB&J.
Yeah, PB&J, right.
Yep. This is PBJ and S.
Of course, when we were young, we didn't refer to it as just PB&J. We
had time said to the say full the entire word.
We had time to say the entire phrase.
That's why we're fully formed adults. We had time to say the actual words.
That's right. Yes. Fully formed adults.
It always surprises me when people abbreviate things that are like...
That's all they do anymore.
You didn't have time to say a two-syllable word. You only had time to say a one-syllable word.
I get texts from a friend that he'll write, I know, and it's K-N-O.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You can't put the W on the end of the word.
Right. Yep.
Well, I got to answer ASAP.
LOL. All that stuff. But how about, I mean, I have people sending me stuff going, hey, D. It takes as long to say D as it does to say Dean.
Yep.
Hey, D. Hey, D. Thanks, D.
And thanks is THX.
Right. Right. But we divert ourselves from the issue at hand. The peanut butter and jelly is, you know, delicious, like any peanut butter and jelly would be. On a burger, I didn't think I would like it. On the ground beef, it's actually quite good. Don't put too much peanut butter on because it can overpower. But the sriracha, like, brightens the whole thing up. Gives it a little sparkle. Gives it a little pepperiness. It was shockingly delicious, and nobody will believe me.
I'm going to try it and see what happens.
Larry Potash from the TV morning show said he will never believe a thing I say from now on because of that. Like, give it a try. He's a picky eater. Larry and Robin, a lot of people don't know this. Larry and Robin are both kind of picky eaters.
I knew I liked those guys.
Larry will try things. Robin will pass. But both are a little bit on the... Paul Conrad... You could put a shoe in the plate, and Paul will eat it. Paul Conrad will eat anything.
He's not a fussy eater, I take it.
Yeah. Pat Tomasulo depends on how many carbs there are in it. He's one of those people. One of those carboholics.
Uh-huh.
So, anywho. That was our crazy email reaction from last week. Happy Father's Day, everyone.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to everybody celebrating today. I hope you have a wonderful day for Daddy today.
To Daddy.
That's what our burger segment was all about. That's what I hope people will do today. Put out a big burger bar like I did. One of the biggest charcuterie boards of toppings you will ever see is what I did. And I hope you'll do that for Dad today to enjoy the burger of his choice, the toppings of his choice. And just, you know, treat him with all everything that he deserves.
I'm trying to come up with the charcuterie thing. Andy, you were talking about that last week.
Yeah, for the James Taylor concert.
Yeah.
We had a gigantic charcuterie board. Not as big as the one that Dean had with all the toppings on it.
I had an 8-foot long charcuterie board.
8 feet.
Eight feet. 8 foot long, filled with stuff, packed with every topping that you could possibly think of.
It's good.
Including sriracha for the burger.
Well, it turned out only a few of us were man enough to try it. Some people were.
I guess I'm going to have to try this. Peanut butter, jelly, and sriracha.
I did not expect to like it.
I mean, it all sounds good. I mean,
let me just say, I fully expected to spit it out when I said I'm going to try it on the air, and I thought I was going to spit it out because it was going to be gross. It surprised me how delicious it was. So, make your dad eat that today.
Well, we've got warm weather for our Father's Day. That's
don't
for
I
sure.
know what? I better take a nice cool beverage here. Hang on a second.
Take a sip.
I have to.
Is it going to be iced tea next hour?
No,
it's just water.
No,
now.
I'm staying with water. All
lemonade time. Later.
Some lemonade would be nice, but I think I just want to stay with the pure, clean H2O today.
Okay.
Maybe
I could go for some lemonade right now.
Some like homemade lemonade, though.
Mm-hmm.
Not Crystal Light or
no.
Anything like that. I mean, I guess Crystal Light's fine in a pinch. But is there anything better than freshly squeezed lemonade with real sugar in it?
That's what you're supposed to do when life hands you lemons, right? supposed to make smile lemonade. And squeeze them and make lemonade, right?
That's very profound.
And then
thank you very much.
You could do like we were talking about a couple of weeks ago and make popsicles out of it also.
There you go.
Very nice. I do like a nice cool beverage. I enjoy a cool
Absolutely.
Beverage. I wonder, you know what I almost bought yesterday when I was doing my grocery shopping, which, by the way, is a little more challenging for me in the warm weather because I don't have stuff to cover my cart.
Good point.
I don't have a coat or anything. So I have to let people see what I'm buying, which is I don't like. I don't like being judged in the grocery store. I almost bought some Kool-Aid. When's the last time you had
Kool-Aid? Kool-Aid.
When's the last time you had Kool-Aid?
It's been a while.
It's been quite a while, yeah. Yeah.
Kool-Aid, Hawaiian Punch.
Hawaiian Punch a couple of not long ago. Hadn't had that in years either.
That would be good on some ice today.
Oh, definitely.
And with some vodka in it?
Freeze that and kind of make a little slushy out of it.
Couldn't get away with that.
Everything that we're about to say about cool beverages, just add the phrase, and some vodka in it.
What was your favorite Kool-Aid
with
flavor?
Vodka?
With or without?
I don't remember the Kool-Aid flavors, but I think I like cherry.
Cherry.
Yeah, I like the grape, too.
Goofy grape?
Goofy grape.
Goofy grape. Was that Kool-Aid, Goofy grape, or was that another?
I can't remember.
I think it was Kool-Aid. There was a number of, you know, like cartoon character type things to market the flavors, and Goofy grape was one of them.
Wasn't there something like Kool-Aid tastes great?
Yes.
Kool-Aid, can't wait.
That's it. There you go.
On Amazon right now, you can buy a 10-flavor variety pack of Kool-Aid.
Hmm.
And I'm expecting the Kool-Aid pitcher to break right through the wall.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of amble along.
There is. Okay.
Jack does not know what we're talking about.
Does Jack not know Kool-Aid? Do you not? The Kool-Aid's pretty universal.
He doesn't. Yeah, I know Kool-Aid. I haven't had it in a while, but yeah.
By the way, the Goofy Grape, there was a drink called Funny Face.
Funny Face.
That's what that was. They had characters, and they sold cups for a while.
Yeah. Here's Kool-Aid Black Cherry.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. Kool-Aid Tropical Punch. Kool-Aid Regular Cherry. I like the cherries. Pink Lemonade Orange. I liked orange. I liked strawberry. It was okay with grape. Was not my favorite.
It wasn't your favorite?
No.
I liked it. I wasn't fussy, though. I mean, grape, lemon, orange, cherry, didn't matter. I liked them all.
Well, you know what you're talking really here is your parents giving you a beverage that is 99.9% sugar.
Mm-hmm. Right, with a little water.
So what's not to like?
That's right.
They were basically,
but did we think about that then? No.
They were basically feeding us addictions back then. Speaking of, you know what else I used to love? Andy mentioned the Hawaiian Punch.
Mm-hmm.
Like old school Hawaiian Punch.
Oh, yeah.
Was that in a can or a bottle? Or?
It was in a can. It was, and you had to like use a little can opener thing to put a little hole in the top. And,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
I like knee-high beverages.
Oh, yeah, grape knee-high.
You and Radar.
I like knee-high fruit punch.
Do they still make knee-high?
Well, let's check the computer machine.
Knee-high.
Let's just say knee-high and see what comes up. Knee-high is a flavored soft drink that originated in the United States. In case you wanted the
thank you very much for
history
that.
On this. That's our far-flung forecast for today. It was founded by Claude A. Hatcher, a grocer from Columbus, Georgia, who began bottling ginger ale and root beer. Oh, don't get me started on the root beer again.
Wow, here we go.
Don't even get me started on the root beer again. I love root beer. And also ginger ale.
But where does the knee-high, that sounds like an acronym, really, for something.
Let's see. This is why Schwani's an award-winning journalist. Digging in.
What, well, logical question.
Yeah.
What does knee-high mean?
The name knee-high was to remind customers that it came in knee-high tall bottles.
Wow.
The bottles were knee-high?
That's a big bottle.
That's a big bottle. Yes.
I remember quart, or was it quart size? Or
that's before they went to the metric liter thing.
Yeah, liters now.
I remember the big bottle, and it, you know, it was actual glass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you could take the bottles back to the store and
right.
get money back for the bottles. But apparently that's how, that's why it was called that.
Yeah, you were drinking knee-high. I was drinking Shasta.
We had,
you had Shasta?
Oh, yeah, we I love the Shasta.
Wasn't there a root? That was a There's Shasta a, root beer.
They had a root beer. They had a, they had ginger ale.
Did they have ginger ale? I remember the root beer.
Yep.
I would trade my car right now for a bottle of ice-cold root beer.
Really?
You know what else sounds good? Ice-cold Orange Crush.
Oh, that would
remember be Orange Crush?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be good.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Okay.
That's pretty much what the show is going to
well,
be
okay.
Today.
Thanks for listening.
I think we're doing our part cooling people off with some cool weather reminders today.
Correct.
Of course, later years in my house, I've mentioned this, my mom switched everything to Diet Right Cola. Yeah.
See, RC was good, but Diet Right was not.
Was not.
No.
Especially as an ice pop. I think I mentioned to you that we... Yeah. She would never
Diet Right as ice pops?
She would never let us go to the Good Humor Man because it cost too much. And so she would get the little Dixie cups and fill them with beverages. It was supposed to be like root beer, you know, delicious beverages.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, she had Diet Right Cola, so we had these horrific Diet Right Cola frozen Dixie cups.
So, and you still ate them, despite the fact you didn't like them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, see, to me, RC was such an underrated drink. Good pizza place, you know, Greasy Spoon pizza
had
place,
RC had color. RC.
Yeah. The bottle of RC with your pizza.
Yeah. My brother and I used to like the cans because they would have baseball player pictures on the sides.
Oh, yeah.
We would collect those and then make a mess in the basement when we decided to go bowling with them. We had our own little thing there with the cans.
Me and my RC.
Oh, that was so
me
good.
Me and my RC.
Now we're into the jingles.
But I can't think of the rest of the jingle, though. Can you?
That was pretty much it.
I think that was the gist of it, yeah.
That's a whole different song.
Yes, that is.
That was like Dick Van Dyke Show, wasn't it?
Yeah, knee-high beverages.
Good stuff.
Very fruity flavored. Very delicious. That was good stuff. Anyway, hang on. Time for another ice cold refreshing beverage.
Got to stay hydrated during the show.
You know what dehydrates me is the far-flung forecast, which is we're going to get to in just a minute. Kevin Costner was live with us on WGN TV Morning News this week. We're going to play back that whole entire exchange for a lot of good stuff. If you can stay hydrated to listen all the way till 1 o'clock here, to the one and only Dave H2O Schwann.
Well, thank
you. People don't know that's his middle name.
H2O?
Yeah. Yeah.
My father's middle name was with an H.
What's that?
Hugo. H-U-G-O. So not all that far removed from H2O, I guess.
Oh, there you go. I wasn't that far off.
But thank you so much, Dean, and friends and neighbors. Get out your compasses and protractors and newfangled devices. We head out west and northwest, actually, to Spokane, Washington.
Lovely part of the country.
It is a lovely part of the country. Spokane, Washington, a population of over 200,000, really, a good-sized city, and the area that is very close to another beautiful part of the country, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Oh, very beautiful.
And just about 90 miles south of the Canadian border.
I'm going to say the Northwest is among the prettiest in the United States.
Oh, it is. It is, without a doubt there. And Spokane is certainly a...
No offense to the Lower Peoria region.
Lower Peoria region.
But still,
Spokane is beautiful. First, people moving in once the U.S. was established in the 1800s.
Yeah, go west.
And later in the 19th century, there was a family that moved in whose daughter was Sonora Smart Dodd. Do you know who Sonora Smart Dodd is?
Sonora Smart Dodd.
Mm. She was born, actually, in Arkansas.
It's a very formidable name.
Mary, yeah, and she was born in Arkansas.
I wonder if she has something to do with the creation of Father's Day.
Boy, keep drinking that water. That's making you smart. That's a very, very good deduction.
Well, you pretty much do the same far-flung forecast on Father's Day every year, so it's really not that smart of me.
Well, why not? I mean,
it's appropriate.
Yeah. Her mother passed away when she was very young, and her father and family moved to Spokane from their home in Arkansas.
Yeah.
And she was very attached to her father. And in 1908, she was listening to a sermon in her church talking about mothers and thought, we need to honor fathers this way also.
Look at her.
So the first Father's Day celebrated in June 19th, 1910 in Spokane, Washington. And in the 1960s, President Johnson signed a proclamation declaring the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. And that became a permanent national observance under the Nixon administration, the third Sunday of June each year. And we can thank Sonora Smart Dodd for making that happen. By the way, her house in Spokane is an historic site.
It would be nice if we added a little something to her legacy every year.
I just said her house is now a state historic site.
Yeah,
there.
No, but I like, you know, like she liked gum.
Actually, she liked lemonade and a hamburger with peanut butter, jelly, and sriracha.
Now I feel like you might be mocking me. I think you're doing dishonor.
Here is an interesting weather tidbit, though, for Spokane, Washington. They had a frost advisory.
Get out of here. They do not.
They did. They had a frost advisory overnight. It's now expired, but temperatures got down. They're elevated country, you know, in the mountains. I'm not surprised by this.
I take everything back that I said nice about that part of the country. We do not need any frost advisories in the month of June.
Well, we certainly aren't going to have one here, but they are now at 45 degrees, mostly sunny, 63 for a high. They're only going to be in the 60s out there.
Yeah, we've got some pretty hot weather the next few days in the Chicago area. Thought we would focus in on that in today's Weekend Health Report. Dr. Jeremy Silver, Director of Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital, joining us. And happy Father's Day to you, Dr. Silver. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dean. Thanks. Appreciate it. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there.
So I would imagine that many, many of the patients that you see in the emergency room there are heat-related. Would that be correct?
Certainly more and more as we reach the hotter summer months. That's absolutely true.
And is it heat exhaustion? Is it sunstroke? I mean, describe the kinds of things that people are coming in with that are heat-related that could very easily affect them the next few days.
Sure. So, you know, heat-related illness is a wide spectrum, and to split the hairs finely isn't necessary for the general public, but simply to know that particularly folks that are older, meaning over 65 years of age, those with chronic illnesses, so maybe you're 30 years old, but you've got a chronic disease, or young children, so kids and babies, are more likely to suffer the effects of heat. And that can be as simple as feeling a little tired and run the gamut all the way up to something we call heat stroke, where essentially the body breaks down, there's lack of sweating, loss of consciousness, and essentially coma. So it can be extremely severe, but there's a variety of ways that people can prevent these types of illnesses from happening.
Talk about the variety of ways that it could happen in the first place. Is it just simply, you know, sitting outside on a day where the temperature is like it's going to be in excess of 90 degrees? Does there have to be physical exertion? How do you get that?
Yeah, 90 is actually a great number, Dean. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, if the heat index is greater than 90 or the temperature is greater than 90, I say that because the heat index just takes into account the humidity. And just briefly, why does humidity matter? It matters because it inhibits sweating. And without getting into the physics of it, you basically just can't sweat off the heat when it's a certain humidity. And so 90 is a great number to use. And it's simply exposure plus time equals illness. And so you don't necessarily have to be exerting, although, you know, exertion does shorten the interval between feeling good and feeling not so good. So the key is, if you're going to be outside, take breaks, use shade to your advantage, use water to your advantage, meaning get under the sprinkler, get in the pool or the ocean, and, you know, spritz yourself with water if you can. And then, of course, drink plenty of fluids, because those cool fluids can help to mitigate the temperatures.
Even sprinkling yourself with water would be helpful. The idea is hydrate inside and out, I guess, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. That cool water on your skin draws the heat from your body into the water, and when that water evaporates or falls off you, then the heat goes with it.
I see. Now, you're saying, you know, drink plenty of beverages. Not all beverages, as we were talking about a few minutes ago, are your friend in super hot weather, correct?
That's correct. Not all drinks are created equal. And it can get complicated if you're out running a race and it's in the 80s, you know, you don't want to just drink water. You want to also replace with electrolytes. So, you know, those classic sports drinks like Gatorade or Powerade. But of course, if you're diabetic or if you have kidney disease or high blood pressure, you should talk to your doctor before you consume those beverages. But the general rule of thumb is if you're outside or exerting in the heat longer than an hour, you need to start thinking about replacing not just the water molecules, but the electrolytes as well.
Yeah, I had always heard that having water was just as good as having a sports beverage with the electrolytes. But it sounds like you're saying you would prefer the electrolytes in there also.
I think if you're having an extended period of time, then it starts to matter. If you're only outside for an hour, you know, mowing the lawn or something, then yeah, water is perfectly fine. But if it's going to be an all-day affair, you want to think about having maybe a couple of sports drinks on hand for sure.
Yeah, and the sports drinks, you were saying that, you know, if you have other conditions, check with your physicians. But there are sugar-free versions of the sports drinks now, which I would think would help a lot of people who otherwise might probably should not have the sugars which are in those beverages.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, sugar and alcohol are the biggest enemies to staying hydrated, because the sugar in the alcohol basically promotes urination, and then you lose all the water and electrolytes that you were trying to hang on to. So trying to limit the sugar is a good thing, even if you're not diabetic, in fact.
Yeah. So is there a certain amount of time at which it is safe to be outside? Someone wants to, you know, sit in the yard, go to the beach, you know, do a little something, or just is everybody different?
Everybody's different. I think the one pitch I would make is for those that have young kids, particularly 3 and under, be careful. You know, I want to make a quick mention about hot vehicles. Around 30 kids die every year from what is called pediatric vehicular heat stroke. And that's just a fancy word for being in a hot car. And by the way, it doesn't take long. A child can die in as little as 15 minutes. And it's not necessarily the absent-minded parent distracted and leaving the kid in the car. Sometimes kids find their way into vehicles. So, you know, keep the cars locked when they're in the driveway. I would also mention that cracking the windows does not diminish the risk significantly. But back to your question, you know, take breaks, wear sunscreen, stay hydrated, light clothing, and pay attention to kids. If your kid is kind of sitting there staring off into space, it's time to get them in a cool environment. It means that they're starting to get overheated.
Yeah, into a, like maybe a cool bathtub or just into the air conditioning of the house?
Yeah, I think air conditioning would be fine. You know, a tepid bath is never a bad idea. I hesitate on the cool bath just because of the shock element, but tepid is good. And then, you know, if for whatever reason, if you don't have access to air conditioning and the temps are above 90, take a trip to the library, go see a movie, go to the mall and walk around. These are public spaces that are generally very well air conditioned, and so it, those are good places to take breaks as well.
Yeah, is it a bad idea that I like to stroll back and forth in the frozen food section of my grocery store?
I think we've all done it. Just leaning over the broccoli.
I'm telling you, sometimes when you come in from outside and it's so hot, and you just happen to walk by a dairy case or a frozen food case, and it's like nirvana all of a sudden.
It's like, right, and then the next thing you know, you're going home with a bunch of popsicles and ice cream cake.
Yeah, frozen peas. They're suddenly stuck to your skin. Not good. Questions for Dr. Silver, comments, other topics. Happy to cover them all for you. The Week in Health, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. It's 9:53. Dr. Jeremy Silver on with us. The Week in Health, answering your questions about the heat wave that's about to hit Chicago. And Jen, you are going to be up first with Dr. Silver. Hi, you're on WGN.
Good morning. I've always had a question on my mind. Sorry, morning throat. And I found the best place to ask the question. What about those deodorants that they have with the cream that they say you can use it on any place on your body?
Yeah, there are a lot of commercials about that, don't you? Have you noticed that, too, that there are nothing but commercials about the deodorants that you can put anywhere? It's kind of crazy. Let's see what Dr. Silver has to say about that. Doctor, the question is about creams, deodorants that claim to stop sweating. How healthy is that? It sounds like you were saying the body needs to sweat.
You know, I certainly respect the idea of maintaining a good cosmetic look and not wanting to have those pit stains, which we all get. But by and large, the antiperspirants, at least the old school antiperspirants, contain metal in the form of aluminum, which you definitely don't want leaching into your body. And generally speaking, sweating is a good thing. So, you know, my counsel would be try and avoid them. And, you know, unless the ingredients kind of are all natural, in which case, have at it.
So what do you do as an alternative? I got off of deodorants with the aluminum. I find them to not be as effective. Sorry, people standing around me. But so what do you do?
Well, you know, I think you're right. The non-aluminum based antiperspirants, you know, that they don't work as well. And, you know, there's some things that you just have to, I think, cope with. And in the case of that you described, Dean, you know, your colleagues might want to stand at a, you know, radius of 10 feet away or more.
Yeah. I mean, there must be some formula, right? There, you know, maybe some work better than others. I don't know. I guess
you know, I have a deep dive this. There, you know, I actually, you know, if you went on Reddit or one of these other, you know, did some Googling, you might find that there's certain formulations out there that work better than others. But generally speaking, I would stay away from the heavy metals.
Okay, stay away from heavy metals and the deodorants with the aluminums in this kind of weather. Jan, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Here's 847 area code. Is the popular children's drink Pedialyte a good substitute for adults in this weather?
Actually, Pedialyte is a great, is very effective. It doesn't have the same formulation of electrolytes that adult drinks do. But in some cases, it's just fine. In fact, we have Pedialyte in our fridge, and I've been known to take to quaff off of it when I'm out there sweating or working outside. So I think it's perfectly fine to drink Pedialyte as a grown up.
Yeah, is it the same as a sports drink?
In fact, it is. It's essentially got, you know, vitamins and minerals, and is formulated to help replace some of the same elements that you lose when you sweat.
Interesting. What can you tell us, says the 708 area code, about Nun tablets for a replacement for sports drinks? It says that I've been told that it doesn't have sugar. It's in little tablets and does the same thing.
Nun tablets are great. I am not looking at the ingredients currently. I think they have a tiny amount of sugar. And I actually just went to their website. It says 1 gram of sugar. So they're not totally sugar-free, but by and large, way less sugar than something like Gatorade. I have these at home. We use them all the time, and I think they're great. They're also non-GMO and all that sort of thing. So they have all of the labels that people look for to know that something is healthy and not over-manufactured.
Great information for these hot days coming from Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Happy Father's Day again, Doctor, and have a great Sunday. Thank you.
Dean, great talking to you.
Perfect day for a parade today, though.
Parade, yes. And also, I might mention that we had a story earlier on the Race Against Hate, which takes place on Father's Day weekend in Evanston, honoring the Northwestern basketball coach, Ricky Birdsong, who was shot and killed 25 years ago this year.
Yeah. Got to be careful. I mean, definitely do things outside today. It's gorgeous, but, be careful.
Well, like you were and the doctor were talking about, you know, keep that hydration going.
Well, don't mind if I do.
And dress appropriately. Dress lightly.
I'm on my
third. Is it still water now?
I'm on my third tumbler of water. Nice. I went to refresh. I went to refresh the water. But also take care of what you have to do when you drink as much water today.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but since you did,
it's a young man's sport. Let me just say, it's not for the older man.
So I shouldn't be surprised if I see you racing down the hall.
I got to have a lot of recorded interviews here today. here's why I mentioned the parade, Mr. Parade, Grand Marshal.
Yes.
In Skokie on the 4th of July.
That will be the 4th of July.
Yeah. Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm excited.
What if it's a hot day like this?
Well, if it's a hot day like this,
you have to wear your Daisy Dukes.
Oh, no.
No, you don't believe me. Those will not be part of the...
Have you decided what you're going to wear?
Well, I'm wearing an appropriate shirt to represent WGN Radio,
What
of
do you
course.
Mean? What does that mean?
A shirt with WGN emblazoned on it. That's what that means.
Have you tried it on?
No.
Could be. May have filled it out a little bit.
Depending on how many burgers I eat with peanut butter and jelly and sriracha on them, right? Mm. But no, I am definitely looking forward
to it.
It's
going to be quite a sight.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to go through this again now, making fun of me.
Would never do such a thing.
No, no.
I just want to tell people where Andy and I are going to be along the parade route in case people want to join us to heckle you.
With the way, at the rate you're going, I think I have a feeling that audience will be growing.
Hey, you and the Daisy Dukes up there. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, what was that?
That was what we're supposed to hear in a few minutes.
Oh, okay.
This is what we're supposed to hear right now. Happy Father's Day. Fathers of daughters and sons celebrating the days. What is Mr. Mazur doing today? Are you doing something special?
We had to go out last night because I'll be at number 9 tonight. So we went out to dinner with my mom and my dad yesterday and took them out to a nice little dinner. And, of course, I'll call him on the way home today.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Where'd you take him to dinner?
We went to one of our favorite spots, El Woods in Lincolnwood.
Oh, that's a good place. Yeah.
My parents love the ribs, and the prime rib is very good.
You ever been there, Shawnee, El Woods?
No, but I've heard Andy talk about really it a number of times.
It's a great, really, really good restaurant.
Yeah. Good spot.
Really good place for ribs.
They have steaks, too, I imagine.
And steaks,
and
yep.
Such.
Excellent.
Yep. You know what they have? I wouldn't have it in this
We should do the show from there sometime.
Okay. I like your team spirit. You know, it's not going to be far from where you're going to be.
That's true.
Grand Marshal.
Parade marshaling.
In Skokie.
Well, like I say, we'll do the show from there.
Maybe we make a quick detour off of the parade route over onto, it's on Lincoln Avenue, right?
Yeah, Lincoln, right near Toohey.
Right near Toohey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it depends on how you treat me at the parade. If you're nice to me, well, I'll be happy to meet you for lunch there. But
for free food? I could treat you any way I want, and you'd still show
yeah,
up.
Exactly.
Oh, you're going to make me pay for it.
You're the Grand Marshal.
You're the Grand Marshal. You're making the big bucks.
You are the Grand Marshal.
You're the Grand Marshal of all time. Yeah, so happy Father's Day. We're going to open up the phone lines. Remember we did this on Mother's Day, where we just opened up the phone lines for messages to Mom. And I wish I had some alliteration for this for Father's Day, but messages for Dad today, whether dads are still with us or not. But, you know, a message that you would like to say to your dad that you wish you could have said to your dad, something like that. We'll get to that coming up later on. But let's deal with the serious business at hand, though. On July 4th, 2024, at about 12 noon, Dave Schwann will take his place in a fancy schmancy convertible and be the Grand Marshal of the Skokie 4th of July parade. Sound pretty excited about it.
I was waiting for you to finish because I'm wondering where you're going to take this.
All I'm doing is inviting people to come and see what Andy and I get to enjoy every week.
Exactly.
Come and see the splendor that is a Dave Schwann on a weekend morning.
Well, I will put to rest the rumors that I'm wearing some sort of a royal robe
right. And
a scepter.
I may have started that rumor.
You think you did?
This week, because of the weather considerations, Daisy Duke and a half T-shirt.
Daisy Duke.
Does Jack know what this means?
I don't think I've ever seen you in short pants.
I don't think I have either.
Well, I'm not a basketball player.
Have you ever worn shorts?
Yes.
I got shorts on right now.
I know. Well, you wear them in March.
Yeah, I do.
So, but yeah, I do wear them. I wore them all day yesterday.
I've known you for 10,000 years. I have never seen you in shorts.
So?
I'm just saying. I'm not saying I want to necessarily. Just saying, I was off all day
yesterday, and you know, that's all I was doing things around my place, and it was just shorts and a t-shirt.
Are
yesterday.
You not preparing for this parade?
Of course, I'm preparing for the parade.
You should be spending every waking moment getting ready for
what to wave and smile at everybody.
Yes,
yes, it's important.
I know how to do that.
You know how to smile? That's news to us.
Do you have another commercial to play? So, I thought you had an interview with Kevin Costner.
We have time for all of these things,
okay.
And many more. So the parade, I went on the Skokie 4th of July website just because there's such a darn nice picture of you on there.
He's smiling,
what a nice description.
Smiling.
Super smiley McSmilington on there. And it's,
well, that's better than being Krabby McCrabbleton or whatever you
says,
call
it. It says that the parade starts at noon, but I still couldn't find the parade route.
Oh, okay. Well, we can get the answers to all of this.
I need to know now.
Oh, so you can stake out an area there? Are you going
to
have a banner up there, you know, telling me to go home?
I may have a banner. I may have some overripe vegetables. I may.
To me, that's the only good thing for vegetables.
throwing them?
Throwing them at Schwein during a parade.
Well, he doesn't know that I'm going to be throwing watermelons at him.
Oh, man.
He thinks it's going to be a soft fruit.
Pumpkins.
Right. Pumpkins,
pineapples.
Gourds. The real hard
ones. Right. There, Schwani, catch this. It's a pineapple.
Now, I think you're going to be showered with love while you're out there.
Okay.
If only anyone knew where this parade route, this alleged parade route is.
We'll find all, we can get the answers to all of this.
I looked, it just shouldn't be on the website.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll go by my childhood home in Skokie.
Say it again?
That was the first place I lived, was Skokie, as an infant.
Oh, well, it probably is going by the Mazur House then. Yeah. Jack says that there's a map on the website.
Now, see, Jack knows how to navigate these things.
Well,
yeah, if you scroll down
see?
Past his picture, like way down, that's right there.
Well, my computer froze when it got to his picture. I had to hit Control-Alt-Delete to get things going.
You know,
again.
They're having the June Taylor dancers also in the parade. They're following the parade, the Grand Marshal's convertible.
So stupid. So what does it say, Jack? It's a map. It doesn't say, starts at this point, goes down this street, ends at this point.
Yeah, and the map's kind of hard to read.
Ah.
It looks like it starts on Lincoln.
Ah.
That makes sense.
To Howard Street.
Lincoln to Howard, all right.
And then you go on Costner to Oakton. There we go.
Yeah, very clear. And then it turns on Oakton?
Yeah. So you turn left on Howard.
Yeah.
Then left on Costner, and then left on Oakton.
Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty, like it'll be pretty quick.
Hmm. It's not going to go by much out at home.
Well, this whole thing is still, you know, Andy, of all of us, Andy is the only one that grew up on the North Shore.
Correct.
If anybody should be honored at this parade, it should be called the Andy Mazur Parade.
Right? I would get on board for that.
Really?
You want to ride along?
I'm going to be here. Since I wasn't invited ahead of time, I agreed to do the morning show here.
Oh, okay.
And I'm having a hissy fit because I wasn't invited.
That's every week.
That's true.
That's every week.
That is very true.
That's nothing new.
No, this frees me up to travel the route to see you at different points in the parade.
And you're going to drive up there and very slowly.
You know how people like during the marathon where people cheer on the people who are, you know, participating.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to see you at different points of the parade so I can cheer you on.
I can just picture it now. Schwein's going to be in the backseat of that convertible. Instead of waving, he's going to be looking around for you.
That's exactly right. Yes.
He's looking over his shoulder.
I'm bringing binoculars.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sums it up right there.
This is a big parade, the Skokie 4th of July.
It is, yes. And I am very excited to be a part of it.
It's a big deal. It's quite an honor.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Very nice. When is this taking place again?
July 4th at 12 noon.
Oh, right. That's right. You don't have to get huffy about
it. Well, you've been mentioning it yourself. And, you're perusing the parade route.
Yep.
So you can cause trouble.
All I want to do is cheer you on.
Sure you do.
It's all I want to
do. Sure you do.
My intentions are only to cheer you on in case people aren't cheering enough, you know, get the crowd going.
Warm up. They're just standing there.
Warm up the crowd.
They're just standing there.
Who's the guy with the I voted sticker on his shirt?
Who's coming up next?
Who's coming up next?
You know what? Now you just gave me an idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear that I voted sticker.
You should.
I am wearing that. I still have it.
I'm not a bit surprised that you still...
I still have it.
Still has it from the Nixon-McGovern
no,
election.
No, Harry Truman.
Harry Truman.
All I want is for people to come and say hi to you, acknowledge you, show their love. And if they happen to have some overripe fruit in the house, it's up to them. Entirely up to them. So, okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, if I get hit with a rotten tomato, it's your fault.
I am not encouraging.
It's your fault.
Not encouraging such behavior. I'm just saying. If I happen to be coming back from the grocery store and my produce ripens in the bag while on my way back.
Especially with this heat. It will be overripe in 15 minutes.
Right. Right.
And also when you cover it up so that, you know, the heat is retained in the basket.
Right, right, right.
Oh, even better.
It's got like an incubator effect in there.
All right. All right. I have a newsroom to run. Excuse me.
Yeah, of course you do. That's going to be the sign on the convertible.
I have a newsroom to run.
I have a newsroom to run.
Oh, it's on the shirt, too.
I can't wait for this. I have enjoyed many a 4th of July celebration.
I should not have said a word about this.
I have enjoyed many celebrations that I've enjoyed through the years.
But this one?
Not as much as I'm looking forward to this year.
10:36 already.
It's a gorgeous Sunday morning in Chicago. Time for our Week in Theater segment. What is going on stage in Chicago? We've got productions of Kite Runner going on right now. We've got a musical Six going on right now. All kinds of things going on, but I wanted to focus on what is going on the Great White Way tonight. The 77th, I believe. Yeah, 77th Tony Awards will be given out in a broadcast that'll be on CBS. One of my favorite award shows of the year because of all the amazing performances. Academy Award winner Ariana DeBose will be the host for tonight. What's up for nomination? What's likely to win? For that, we turn to a keen observer of the theater scene in New York City, contributing theater editor at Variety and also host of the Stagecraft podcast. Gordon Cox is joining us this year. Hi, Gordon. Welcome to WGN.
Hi, nice to be here.
So is it a super exciting morning in New York City, the morning before the Tony Awards?
Sure, yeah. It's usually when the final dress rehearsal is happening on the Sunday morning before the show tonight. A lot of shows, not every show, but a lot of shows also have Sunday matinees to do. So a lot of casts will go to the Tony rehearsal in the morning, go do a show in the afternoon, and then, you know, turn around and go back to the Tony venue to do their number on the show that night. It's a big day for a lot of people.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that they had performances the same day that they would. Many of them will be doing performances during the... I guess it just, you know, essentially becomes a two-show day for them, right?
Yeah, three, depending on how you consider it. Yeah. But yeah, absolutely.
So before we talk about the nominees and your predictions and so forth, what's the status of, Broadway right now? Of course, naturally, everything everywhere shut down during the pandemic. Some places have done better jobs than others at getting people back. What's the latest in good old New York City?
Broadway, the state of Broadway in both sales and attendance is doing better, but it is not back to the numbers that people have hoped. Both the sales numbers and the attendance numbers are about on par with what they were last year, and actually the sales were down a little bit compared to season over season. But neither number of either sales or attendance approaches the last recorded numbers for the final full season or the final full year before COVID. So, like, you know, Broadway pulled in around $1.54 billion this season, but that's not close to the $1.83 billion recorded in the 2018-2019 season. So it's doing okay, but there are a lot of people are hoping that things are going to pick up even further. There have been a few signs of that pickup beginning to happen starting around March, April, and so people are hopeful that that's going to continue as tourism returns to New York City.
Yeah, do you think that's just because people aren't comfortable being in crowds yet, or you know, being in crowded places like Times Square, or is it the shows, the shows that haven't really, you know, grabbed people's interest?
I think it's actually more due to the sort of changing consumer habits in general. I think a lot of I think Broadway lost a significant portion of the suburban audience as soon as commuters stopped having to come into the city every day. You know, now that more people work from home, you know, three times a week, sometimes four times a week, yeah. You know, they're in the city less often. They're less inclined to, you know, maybe stick around after work and go to a show. And so that's a portion of the audience that has been slow to return. And I think that people are buying tickets in advance less and less, which makes it harder for, you know, they're just making plans less far in advance than they used to, which is sort of happening across the board. And so that makes it harder for Broadway shows to sort of assess their own health and decide whether they're healthy enough to keep going or not.
Interestingly, I don't know if this has to do with anything that we're talking about, but I would say over the past few weeks, I've had so many people asking me about what shows should I go see in New York. Well, how do I get tickets for shows in New York? What's the, you know, what's the best way to do all of that? And I just thought it's interesting. Like, suddenly, you know, the summer season is here. Obviously, some people are going to New York this summer, and they want to see some shows.
Yeah, tourism is the projected tourism for this year is almost exactly what it was. What the recorded total was for 2019, the last full year before the pandemic. So people are very optimistic about that. And I think Broadway has benefited from the fact that so many shows opened in April, and it was like one buzzy new show after another. And there were movie stars, and there were musicals based on famous movies and famous books. And, you know, some were doing great, and some were doing not so great. It just gave people a lot to talk about, and it reminded people that Broadway's around and there's a lot happening.
Yeah, what people must ask you for recommendations all the time. If someone was coming to New York right now, what are the shows that you might send them to?
Well, I always try and tailor it to their particular preferences, but I do think the play that is tipped to win a whole string of Tony Awards is called Stereophonic. I do think it's really great. I think it's as good as everybody says it is, and I think that's worth seeing. That's a play that's kind of loosely inspired by Fleetwood Mac. It's about a rock band in the 70s in Northern California sort of struggling to record their follow-up album, and it is a really, like, delicately, like, precisely executed verite look at it, and it's like really compelling and really fun, and the music is great. I think it's going to win a lot of awards tonight, so I would tell people to go to that probably.
I've been recommending that to folks as well. We have a Huey Lewis musical that's on Broadway right now as well. What was your take on that?
It is deeply stupid, but it agrees that it is deeply stupid. It knows exactly what it is. It's a really good time. I was surprised by what a good time I had at it. It's just dumb fun. It's sweet. It's fun. It's well executed. I think it's particularly if you're into Huey Lewis, I mean, go to that. You're going to have a great time.
Yeah. I mean, it's like nothing but nostalgia, you know, for people. And a lot of times, you know, that's all that people need. What's the latest Disney offering that's on Broadway right now for the kids, for the family?
You know, there haven't been any new Disney shows on Broadway for a while. A lot of that has to do with the fact that Disney kind of tops out at two shows. As soon as there are more than two shows on Broadway from Disney, they kind of start to cannibalize each other. They can't quite become the mega sellers that they are. So there's The Lion King and Aladdin here on Broadway. They've got a new kind of Broadway-sized production of The Hunchback of Notre Dame that just premiered in Hamburg, Germany, actually, in German. Mm. And it seems very likely to me that that will end up maybe not on Broadway in the immediate future, but certainly the West End.
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Tony Award nominees tonight. You heard him predict Stereophonic was going to be a big winner tonight. What else is up for nominations? What does he think will win? It's Gordon Cox, the contributing theater editor at Variety and host of the Stagecraft podcast with us today. 312-981-7200. 10:47, this is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN, and our weekly weekend theater segment that's going on. This week focusing on the 77th Annual Tony Awards that will be given out tonight on CBS. I'll have a full recap of it all tomorrow morning on WGN TV Morning News as well. Gordon Cox is with us this week, contributing editor at Variety, host of the Stagecraft podcast. And this is one also, Gordon, that you expect to be a winner tonight. Merrily We Roll Along.
That's true. I think that's going to win a whole lot of awards. It's going to win the award for best revival of a musical. It's sort of resuscitated the reputation of a famous Stephen Sondheim prop that now this production seems to have made it work in a way that it hasn't ever before for a lot of people. It's both a commercial success and a critical success. I think at least a couple of the actors will receive acting awards, probably all three of the lead actors, including Daniel Radcliffe, the former Harry Potter, who's going to win his first Tony, I think, tonight. And it'll probably win for Best Director as well, and maybe a few other awards also.
I'm hearing Jonathan Groff is a pretty good choice to pick up a Tony Award as well, who is the lead in this, right?
Yeah, he is almost a sure thing, absolutely.
The other nominees in this category, Cabaret at the Kit Kat Club, Gutenberg the Musical, and The Who's Tommy. I almost thought that The Who's Tommy might wind up being a big winner tonight so they can get some big, huge rock and roll star power on stage for that.
Yeah, that production wasn't, that was a, the original Broadway staging of Tommy happened in the early 90s, and this new version did not get the same reception as that first one did. So, in this case, it was not meant to be on Tony night, although they might still do a number from it. I'm not sure what the exact plan is for this evening, but, it did not get the awards attention that I'm sure everyone involved hoped for it.
Yeah, and now that's for Best Revival of a Musical. In the category of Best Musical, the nominees are The Outsiders, Hell's Kitchen, Suffs, Water for Elephants, and Illinois, which originated at the Shakespeare Theater here in Chicago. Had a terrific
result. Right.
So I was happy to see it also being received well in New York. What do you think might happen there?
I think Illinois is very well liked. It is a less traditional musical. It's sort of a dance musical. It will probably win for choreography, and people really like it. But the race for best musical is hard to predict, but it's really one of two that seem to be the kind of front-running candidates. One of them is Hell's Kitchen, which has sort of been the front-runner all season. That's from Alicia Keys. It's loosely based on her life, and it includes songs from her career, many of them, you know, great big hits. And it's sort of about a young woman, 17-year-old, growing up in New York in the 90s. And it's a very relatable story. She's sort of discovering herself as an artist. It's about her relationship with her mother. That's very well-liked. It's doing really well at the box office. But then there's also an adaptation of The Outsiders, which is a well-known YA novel. It was written back in the 60s, and a lot of kids still read it in high school English classes today. And that is a little grittier. It's a little edgier. There's some really striking sort of choreographic stuff going on. There's a really cool big fight scene in the rain that has gotten a lot of people talking. And people are really impressed with the craft of that musical. So I know that that's gotten a lot of voters' votes as well. So it's really one of those two, and at this point, I have no idea. It could be either one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll you know, when we watch the show tonight, we'll see how that shakes out. What about for performances tonight in the category of best actor in a leading role in a musical? The nominees are Jonathan Groff, who we mentioned for Merrily We Roll Along, Brian D'Arcy James for Days of Wine and Roses, Brody Grant from Outsiders that you're talking about, Dorian Harewood from The Notebook, and Oscar winner Eddie Redmayne from Cabaret at the Kit Kat Club. You think this one might be Jonathan Groff?
It is Jonathan Groff. Eddie Redmayne, also a Tony winner. He won for Red probably over a decade ago. His performance was really well reviewed when that production opened in London, and it was much less well received here, along with the entire production. It was sort of less well received by the critical establishment here in New York. That show is still a big hit, by the way. Everybody's going, and it's commanding really high ticket prices. So it's doing just fine, but it was less of a hit with the critics. And it really seems like that Jonathan is the one who's going to really take this one.
It's amazing to, I mean, the legs that Cabaret has, right? After all these years that it's, you know, still out there, still being considered for a production. And as you say, you know, selling tickets like crazy. What do you think the attraction is to that show?
Well, it is one of the best Broadway musicals that exists, I would say. I when people put me on the spot and ask me what my favorite Broadway musical is, I always say Cabaret. I think it's beautifully constructed. I think it's sort of timeless. I think the Kander and Ebb songs are so witty and often scary and really emotional. I just think there's so much there that you can put it up at any time in any era in history, and it feels really relevant and really affecting. Mm. And I think you sort of can't go wrong with just sort of the base material in that show, and so it keeps coming back.
For a best actor in a leading role in a play, Leslie Odom Jr. From Pearlie's Victorious, Jeremy Strong, Enemy of the People, William Jackson Harper, Uncle Vanya, Liev Schreiber for Doubt, and Michael Studbaugh in Patriots. Who will take this one, do you think?
That one is another sort of two-horse race. I'm giving the slight edge to Leslie Odom Jr., who's a Tony winner for Hamilton, and he starred in a production of Pearlie Victorious, which is an Ossie Davis Jr. play that was revived to really remarkable effect earlier in the fall. And he gave this like really big, confident comic performance in a show that, not unlike the Merrily We Roll Along revival, just really resuscitated the attention on, revived the attention on this play that had a little bit been forgotten. My gut is maybe he's going to win tonight, but I do think Jeremy Strong, who, you know, is an Emmy winner from Succession, he's in a revival of An Enemy of the People. He's also giving Leslie a run for his money. He's also doing really strong work and getting a lot of votes.
Yeah, can't wait to see who will take that one. I'm a big fan of Leslie Odom. For Best Actress in a Lead Role in a Musical, Malia Joy Moon for Hell's Kitchen, Kelly O'Hara, Days of Wine and Roses, Eden Espinosa in Lempicka, Marianne Pluckett for Notebook, and Gail Rankin for Cabaret at the Kit Kat Club.
Yeah, I'm guessing this one is going to go to the star of Hell's Kitchen. She's sort of a young performer making her debut. Her name is Malia Joy Moon, and I suspect that award is going to go to her. She's making a really assured, really confident, really strong performance. Yeah. You know, you would hardly know. This is really basically her first professional gig. Her competition in this case is Kelly O'Hara, who gave a wonderful performance in Days of Wine and Roses.
Is she sort of the Alicia Keys character in this production? Best Actress in a Play, Lead Role, Sarah Paulson for Appropriate, Jessica Lange, Mother Play, Rachel McAdams, Mary Jane, Amy Ryan for Doubt, and Betsy Adam, Prayer for the French Republic. Is it going to be Jessica Lange in this one?
It's a really starry race. I am betting on Sarah Paulson winning this one. She gives a really really sort of eviscerating performance in Appropriate, which is a play that a lot of people really liked. Jeff Klang is doing great work in Mother Play, and I know a lot of people really liked her performance. She has already won a Tony, which is sometimes figures into the way voters think. Well, she, you know, she won one in 2016.
Right.
Jeff Klang won for A Long Day's Journey into Night. And also, Sarah Paulson's is a little showier. There's sort of more overtly impressive as a performance, which also tends to sway voters as they're voting.
So, what can we hear in your Stagecraft podcast, Gordon?
Just the other day, we released one with the producers of the Tony Awards, and they sort of help the producer and directing duo. They've done the Tony Awards for the last something like 22 years or something, since 2003. We can talk a little bit about sort of what to expect tonight and how they execute the shows that they do every year. There's also a really great conversation with Sarah Paulson and the playwright of the play she's in, Brandon Jacobs-Jenkins. That was one of my favorite conversations on that podcast for a really long time. I think it's really a great conversation. We've got some folks. We've got Eddie Redmayne and Gail Rankin about Cabaret. Yes. There's a whole slew of sort of Tony nominees conversations going back all the way to the fall. There's one with Leslie Odom Jr. actually in the fall that people can take a look at if they're interested in, you know, voting up before the show tonight or curious about who some of the winners are and what they're thinking after the awards.
Staying up on what's going on Broadway on top of it. Stagecraft is the name of the podcast. Gordon Cox is also contributing theater editor at Variety. Really nice talking to you today. I hope we can do it again sometime. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You know what else? You got to watch the air quality, right? On days like this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do.
I find it a little more difficult to breathe when it's super hot and thick.
Well, this is what happens when you get hot, humid weather and high heat indices.
Yep.
That's the plural for index, by the way.
Thank you, Professor.
You're welcome.
So just everybody be smart, be careful. If you see me playing in my sprinkler in front of my house today. Put out a big slip and slide.
Oh, I missed the slip and slide.
And you're wearing one of those one-piece bathing suits from 1912.
Like the Stooges used to wear.
Right, yeah. Yep. Hopping around in your yard.
Mom, that man's outside again.
Close the window.
Stop looking
Close
at the
blind.
Man outside.
Close the blind right now.
I used to love playing in the sprinkler.
Oh, it was great.
Oh, great stuff.
Could there be do kids still do that?
Yeah, I think so.
Do they?
I think so, yes. I've seen that. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I have seen that recently.
Are they checking their iPhones while they're running through the sprinklers?
That's a good question. The waterproof iPhones.
That was the best.
Oh, yeah. All kinds of summertime fun like that.
Those sprinklers that waved back and forth and... Mm-hmm. You had to figure out when to jump in, and just good, clean, pure fun.
Yep, yep.
Good stuff. So happy Father's Day to all celebrating. Here's what I want to do now. I want to open up the phone lines for messages for the man. I've been trying to come up with an alliteration for this.
There you go.
Messages for the man. Messages for dad, whether dad is still with us or not. What would you like to tell your dad on the 50,000-watt Clear Channel WGN Radio? What would you like to tell so all the world can hear about your dad? Or if your dad's not here, what do you want to tell us about your dad? 312-981-7200. I may go buy a bottle of Old Spice in honor of my dad today.
Was that the Father's Day gift of choice?
That poor man must have had 35 bottles of Old Spice cologne.
Wow.
And he loved it.
Did he?
Yeah. He loved it. Slap it on every morning.
Matter of fact, my dad did the same thing.
Old Spice?
Now, I don't know if it was Old Spice or not, but it was definitely an aftershave, you know, with the 1958 Sunbeam razor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Know. And when you're done.
Those blades that you had to go to, like, the medical school to use those razors.
Just to make sure you wouldn't cut yourself.
Right? I'm scared to shave just like with a
razor. Well, this was an electric one. This was an electric one.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah, this was an electric one.
Fancy schmancy.
You know. But the aftershave, definitely a part of that.
My dad had the double edge. I don't even know what you call it.
Oh, those straight razors.
That's
why you had to go to medical school.
Yeah. It wasn't like a straight blade, but it was a double edge cartridge.
Mm-hmm.
You turned something in the device itself. It opened up like the wings
at the top, right?
Yeah.
And then you put this double-edged blade in and closed it up, and he shaved with that. And how he didn't cut his throat every day is beyond me.
It's harder and harder to find razor blades for shaving. You use them for, you know, fine woodworking or something like that.
Really?
Go to a hardware store and try to find razor blades. And, you know,
just the straight-edged blade, you mean.
Right, right. And if you're using a straight razor or a blade razor to shave, they're all in these packages of, what, 10, 20
right.
of them?
Yeah, it costs $200.
And they're $250.
Yeah. Jeez. Did your dad teach you how to shave?
Yes.
Yeah, my dad did, too.
Me too?
Yeah.
Me too.
We used to take the empty ones of those, the razors you were just talking about, Dean. You kind of unscrew the bottom of it, and the top would open up, and then you put the blade. But he would give us the empty ones, and we would shave while he was shaving in the mirror.
The blades?
No, just the empty cartridge.
Yeah. Like the empty device.
Empty razor, yeah, with no razor in it.
And you would pretend to...
Yeah, we'd lather up, you know, with a little shaving cream. Oh, my brother and I would be in the mirror.
That was good.
Good stuff.
Lather on up, pretend.
Oh, did your father use the Old Spice for the...
Andy's younger. He may have had high karate.
Yeah, man. High karate.
It was more of a younger
that stuff.
It's a younger man's cologne.
Oh my goodness! High karate.
We got into a routine about high.
He's
karate.
An Aquavelva man.
He was an Aquavelva.
The Aquavelva man.
Oh, that! My dad though, with Old Spice, he loved his Old Spice. And then it was very much like the movie, the Macaulay Culkin movie, Home Alone. Where you shave and then you put the cologne on, not knowing how painful it's going to be.
Oh yeah,
it's going to sting,
yeah,
big time.
Yeah, but my dad taught me how to shave. I've only just gone back to like complete shaving again because I had facial hair for such a long time, and then I decided to shave it all off. So I had to like rethink what my dad taught me, how to shave my upper lip. And, you know, below my lower lip.
Yeah, I don't miss that at all.
Very carefully.
Very carefully.
I don't miss that at all.
No. And then I forgot to do the upper lip the other day. I only did a part of it. And I accidentally went to work with a slight Hitler mustache.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's not good.
That's not a good look for a man.
No, it isn't.
I don't care what anyone says. That has never come back in style again. That's a good one. He says education. 20, remember that one?
The Winstons from 1969.
Color Him Father. Very sweet. On the 45 RPM records.
I still have the record.
What's a record, Uncle Dean?
What's a 45?
What's a 45 RPM record? My mother loves him. I love this song. I can tell.
This was a big hit.
It was.
Right? Yeah. It took off with a bullet.
And
they used to say.
It had to be one of the, what'd you say, 1969?
69, I think, yeah.
I was going to say it had to be one of the first, artistic expressions of a father figure. You know what I mean? Not a traditional father, but somebody who is like the stepfather in this particular case. But this was also right around the Brady Bunch era.
That's true. That's true, yeah.
Of a combined family, stepfather, you know, stepmother and all that. But we got a lot of stepfathers. I had a stepfather also that was amazing to me. It was, one of these great guys. I didn't write a song about him. I failed him as a son, but still, he was a pretty great guy. So what I want to do is open up the phone lines for messages for the man. Messages for your dad. Tell us about your father a little bit. Tell us who he is, what he is, what he did, the influence that he had on you. If he's no longer with us, you know, pay tribute to him. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. I was, you know, talking, just the phone lines went crazy when we were talking about dads teaching us to shave. Just, you know, like a simple thing like that, right? But so many great memories of, I remember my dad teaching me to drive, putting me in his lap, this 1959 Chevy Biscayne, I think he had, one of those big old, you know, Chevys that were gigantic, and, you know, teaching me to drive and then letting me sit behind the wheel by myself and drive. Like, what? Wow, what the memories. Shawnee, you must have a lot of memories. I mean, you were super close to your dad.
Yeah, oh, sure. In fact, I was thinking of the Bruce Springsteen song about my hometown, you know, where he talks about setting his son up behind the wheel and drive through a hometown. But, yeah, definitely driving through our neighborhood and hearing panicked calls like, hit the brake! Hit the brake, take your foot off the accelerator.
Yeah. Yep. My dad, as a driving instructor, considering how short a fuse he could sometimes have, he was amazingly patient.
When it came to doing things like driving?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Father's Day, but my dad had just bought this brand new Chevrolet car. It was 1959. I think Biscayne. I think that's what it was. It was enormous and it was beautiful. Green. It was a green car. He was so proud of it. And my brother and I decided that we were going to help Dad one day by washing his car without being told to. And we did it with the muddy water that was in the...
I remember you telling me this story.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think I've ever seen him so mad as when we rubbed mud all over his car.
What was the motivation behind that? What were you thinking?
Kindness.
To wash it with mud?
Well, we didn't think that it was...
Oh, you didn't think that...
We didn't... Damn. Yeah, we didn't think it through that far. Probably should use clean water. And a hose, and, you know, a brand new car. And we're getting this gravelly old mud and rubbing it all over his car. How he didn't kill us is amazing. It's amazing. Andy, you got anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, my dad was really patient with me behind the wheel, too. As a matter of fact, I had just been taking driver's ed and just had gotten my permit. And he's said, hey, drive down the road here. And I kind of thought to myself, where are we going? We were going out of the Edens. It was the first time he'd ever been with me. And we get on the Edens at Lake. And I'm like, what the heck is going on here?
Wow.
So, yeah, he had a lot of faith in me in that instance right there. But
he took you on the expressway.
He took me on the expressway. First time we were ever together in the car alone. And it worked out okay. I'm here to tell you all about it. No accidents or anything like that. We got pretty much right off at Old Orchard. And it was, you know, less than a couple miles on the highway, but it was interesting.
Were you terrified?
You know, I was a little terrified at first, but then I thought, well, I guess I'm gonna have to learn how to do this, right? So yeah. We did it. But you know, before that, he would take me into there was an old junior high right by our house, and always empty on the weekends, obviously. And every once in a while, we'd be coming home from somewhere, and he'd pull into the parking lot. There, he goes, all right, go ahead, let's go. Let's see. Yeah. Let's see what you got.
Yeah.
And we'd drive around the parking lot for a little while. Of course, we didn't tell Mom, but we did it anyway.
People from the south side near Rainbow Beach will know the old water filtration plant. I think it's still there. But there were huge parking lots and windy roads around there. And that's where we would go. Where we would get behind the wheel, and he'd just let us go behind the wheel by ourselves.
I'm chuckling because he also taught me how to drive stick. And there was a little road that went onto the main road by our house. I mean, the incline may have been like an inch, but I could not get the car to go.
Yeah.
So finally, there's a line of cars backing up at the stop sign, and my dad's like, "All right, let me just do this, and we'll work on it again."
Oh, that's
funny. He was waving at the cars; they were all understanding what was happening since I got out of the other side of the car.
That's funny. Shawna, you can drive stick, I imagine.
I can't drive a stick to save my life.
No kidding.
I love driving a stick. Yeah, it's good.
I would like to. I never just couldn't get the, I don't know, the coordination down. Yeah. I tried. I burned out many a transmission. Yeah, no, just kidding.
Yeah.
But I never learned how to do it
effectively.
My second car was automatic or manual transmission.
Manual transmission. Yeah.
I think my first two cars were manual.
Yeah, I loved it. It was super cool back then.
Until I had my second knee surgery on my left knee, I was like, okay, maybe this is not such a good idea.
Yep. Maybe good not to have to engage a clutch.
Exactly.
Here's Mary Alice here on WGN. Good morning. Happy Father's Day.
Oh, good morning, Dean. I listen to you. I'm a saint. Volunteers for the
Ushers. Nice. At the theaters. Very nice. Yeah.
Yes, but I want to tell you about my dad.
Okay.
He taught at a Taft High School on the north side. He started Teacher Appreciation Day in the city of Chicago. Life magazine came out. I don't know where they were located, New York, where. But my dad was in seventh heaven, rightly so, because he and his student council, he headed it, started it. They had parent breakfast. They had volleyball games, honoring the teachers. I turned out to be a teacher also, and my dad took me to ballet lessons. And I used dance with the kids at Le Moyne School.
Yeah.
And we had autistic children, and dance plays in very much. Anyone that has an autistic child, I encourage them to get them into movement because they don't have the vocalization as we do, but anybody can move, and music is healing. It's soothing. It's therapeutic, and it's fun.
Yeah, and it sounds like your dad knew all of that. He sounds like a great guy. Thank you for sharing all of that. Hi, Bill. You're on WGN.
Hey, Dean and company. How's it going today?
I'm good. Tell me about your dad.
Yeah, we grew up in Wilmette, and I think I was a preteen, you know, and my birthday's first day of March, and they have a real nice a sporting goods store there, and my mom was supposed to pick up the bicycle that he had ordered, and it was closed that day, and so I thought I was you know, going to be left without, but true to form, he went to another bicycle store after work, paid to have somebody put together a Schwinn Stingray with the banana seat.
Oh, that's so cool.
And surprised the heck out of me.
That is so cool, the Stingray with the banana seat.
That's great.
What a great story.
That's my story, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I appreciate the great memory. Thank you very much. Let's go over to Sherry. Your end, or let me see. Wish, is that right? Wish?
Yes, that's correct, Dean.
Hello, sir.
How are you? Wonderful to be talking to you, listening to you all these many years.
My pleasure. Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you. Same to you. Yeah, the kids are celebrating me every day because my birthday's tomorrow, too.
Nice.
Busy.
Nice.
Want to let you know, my dad was a staunch Republican in a Democratic precinct on 18th and Ashland. I grew up in Pilsen.
Okay.
And he was a real strict Cubs fan, and everybody else was Sox in that neighborhood. But he worked for the phone company, always wearing a suit because he was a supervisor of interior decorating. Never drove a car and had to travel between Inglewood, Pullman, over there in Austin, all by streetcar.
Oh, wow.
And when I was 7 years old, after the war started, his favorite was Sundays when the Cubs were in town. That's when he went to the game, and that's when he dragged me. We would go to church, and right after Mass, him in his suit, white shirt, tie, straw hat, we'd run over to 18th and Ashland, get on the streetcar, 4 cents for me, 8 cents for him, go to Wrigley Field, and see the game. And after the game, win or lose, we'd go down to the dugout because the players didn't run off.
Right.
They stayed there.
Yep.
He introduced me to Pasco, Cavaretta, Hank Sauer, and I can't think of other names.
How about that?
But when he when the Cubs won, he would take the cab home for $2.
Celebrate.
And I remember, I'll never forget it.
I love
it. He lived
that.
To age 93, died in 89 after 3 years of dementia, and he was a great old man, sat on the front porch on 18th Place, reading his paper after dinner and watching the ball games in the Cooper School Rock Yard.
There you go.
We used to have that 16-inch game almost every night with those guys that had these clubs in those days.
Yeah, some great memories. I'm so happy that you shared those with us. Thank you very much. Happy Father's Day to you. It's 11:38, Father's Day 2024. Dad. Remembering Dad, both with us and not on our phone lines, 312-981-7200. Want to hear about your dads, both in text and in phone calls. We've got a lot of texts coming in. Here's one from the 312. I remember my dad for his sense of humor. When he was in his elder years, if someone would say, Frank, how are you? He'd say, well, I read the obituaries this morning and my name wasn't in there, so I guess I'm good. He lived a good life until the age of 91. That's a nice story. 847 area code remembers, my dad was a World War II Marine, a demolition expert in the Pacific. He was the recipient of the Navy Cross for tremendous bravery. And was so modest about it. We're all so proud of him. He had such wisdom and was the most wonderful listener, never interrupting and always offering the best advice. We were blessed with wonderful parents. How nice is that? Here's another saying that my dad has been gone. Oops, wait a minute here. Hang on a second. Computer failure. I don't know what happened to the computer. Al, I don't know. Something happened to the computer there, but somebody was talking about their dad, and they're trying to find Old Spice aftershave, but they changed the formula. They changed the scent. It's not the original scent anymore. Sherry, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well.
I'm glad you're good, and Dave, too.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for calling.
I want to talk. Oh, I want to talk about my dad, Joe Talarico,
sure.
From Joliet, Illinois. And him and my mom had 13 kids.
Wow.
Yeah. And
where do you fall? Always, where do you fall in the 13?
I'm number two. My brother is older, and I'm the second one. He's a boy, and I'm a girl.
Nice. So tell me about your dad.
Older.
Yep.
Oh, well, he worked at Caterpillar all his life. And he always would take me around when he would go and bring people to vote every election.
Mm.
He was so involved in politics and just a great community guy doing all kinds of stuff here for everybody. And I just wanted to say he was so just wonderful to all of our kids. And we went on family vacations in a 57 Chevy and we went to Cub games a lot, and with my mom and dad, we'd go up to Wrigley Field, and half of us would stand in line while the other half went down the block to go to church, and then the other half would come back and stand in line for tickets that day, and the other half would go to church. But one thing I wanted to say, too, I remember he said he would take me to learn how to drive a stick shift.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay. So we took that 57 station wagon, and we were driving, like, down a hill and over, going over some railroad tracks, and a bus was in front of us.
Oh, geez.
And he says, you have to slow down. You can't go that fast. I wasn't even going fast, but I was going over railroad tracks. The next thing I knew, his legs were tangled up with mine because the clutch was on the floor.
Oh, he was trying to get in there and slow you down. Yeah.
That's a good memory for me.
I love that.
I love it too.
I love that. I love those stories. You said two words that brought back a million memories for me. You said voting booth. And my dad was was so fiercely proud to be an American citizen, and he took very seriously his responsibility. And we were four boys, so he would take at least two of us into the voting booth with him and show us how to vote. Remember those big old machines with the, the little switches? And, you know, it's like, this is how you do it, and this is what you do. And then you take this big lever, and you pull the lever all the way to the side.
I'm glad you have memories of that. Yeah. I want to say, too, my dad died when he was 57 years old.
I'm sorry.
In 1987. He had Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But it sounds like you've got some wonderful memories that'll live with you forever, though.
And my mom is still alive. She's 92.
Oh, nice. I appreciate your call, and thank you for sharing those.
I appreciate you letting me call.
wonderful, wonderful memories. 708 area code. My dad took me a couple of times a year to the Museum of Science and Industry. I'll tell you what, if you ask any of my friends that I grew up with, if they have memories about Dean's dad, it was about taking us to the Museum of Science and Industry, because at that time we lived on the South Side, and he would pile us into the car, my brothers, my friends, their friends, we'd pile into the car and go crazy at the museum. Often in the wintertime, my dad would carry all of our coats. And if you ask my friends, they'll tell you your dad loved that Museum of Science and Industry. You know, so we've got some memories of that as well. Here's another that's, here we go. Wait a minute. The text line is working again. This is the 224 area code. I love this message. It says, my dad's been gone for 12 years. I miss him every day. He taught my brothers how to be men. He taught my sisters and I how to never accept less than we deserve. How poignant is that? Let me repeat that. He taught my brothers how to be men, and he taught my sisters and I to never accept less than what we deserve. He was brilliantly funny and endlessly kind. That is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Father's Day message right there. Here's Ruth. You're on WGN. Hello.
Hi. I love your show.
Thank you. appreciate it.
But I wanted to tell you, I adored my dad. Unfortunately, he died when I was 14. He died when he was 52. And I felt like obviously I never knew him as an adult, and I've wondered, you know, how that would have been as the years went on, getting to know him better. But a couple of very fond memories of him. I remember him lying in the hammock in the backyard by the peony bushes in the shade with our dog Terry sitting right by him. And our dog was really, you know, I think he was my dad's dog, more or less. And then another really great memory is I was insisting that I had to get a bike, a big girl's bike.
Right.
So when I was 6 years old, my dad got me this Schwinn racing bike with the thin tires and handbrakes.
Oh, that was cool.
And, he was going to teach me how to ride it. Unfortunately, I had to stand up riding it because I was too little. I was only 6 years old. And I remember my dad said, "You'll grow into it, honey." But he stood, you know, he was with me all the way, and I loved learning how to ride my bike, you know, with him. So, I have many happy memories and miss him, and I'm just thinking about him today.
I hope all of these messages are triggering happy memories for everybody. That's the purpose of it. When I'm hearing what you're saying, I'm thinking about things that I can relate to. I don't want to make this about me, but similar things that your dad did that my dad did. I hope others, and it's not to make us sad, it's to celebrate what wonderful people they were. And how caring they were, and the sacrifices that they made. you know, we didn't think about it when we were kids. We didn't understand that. I don't think
we just took it all for granted. That's what we expected.
Yeah, we wanted a bike. We wanted to learn, roller skates. We wanted this. We wanted that. And somehow they made it happen. You know, both of my parents
a wonderful
worked
man
so hard,
and,
right? Yeah.
So anyway, I'm happy, you know, he was part of my life and you know, I'll always miss him.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And, you know, somebody told me once a long time ago, I was talking about somebody, and I started tearing up talking about this person, and I apologized. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm sorry. You know, it gets me, you know, because that's how much I miss this person who had passed away. And they said, it's okay. The amount of tears show the amount of love. The amount of tears are equal to the amount of love. So,
that's really true. Yeah.
That is somewhat comforting to me. And, you know, mm-hmm. now I just laugh. You know, I think my poor dad taking us all to the Museum of Science and Industry and carrying eight coats around that place.
Oh my gosh!
And trying to keep track of eight kids running around like maniacs, pushing buttons at the museum. But he did it. He did it, and he did it all the time. A lot of memories.
Well, our dads were so devoted and good family men, and you know,
and they worked hard at the same job, and they had jobs, and
yeah, you know, my dad worked hard too. Yeah, so,
taking care of the house and all that stuff. Sure.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would paint, you know, gutters and things like that, or you know, that needed fixing, and he did everything and worked a full-time job, you know, so.
Yeah, I get you. Know. Glad you called up, and I appreciate the memories, Ruth. Thank you so much. Have a great
Thank
day
you.
Today.
You too. Thanks,
yeah.
Dean.
Thanks. We'll get to some more in a minute. 312-981-7200 here. Stick around. The kit may have been talking about a different kind of daddy there, but the sentiment is still with us. Eartha Kitt, My Heart Belongs to Daddy, 11:52. Dean Richards, hey, I hope you're going to have a great day for your dad. If you're doing something special outside, you may want to check out the videos that we did of my cooking segment on WGN-TV this past Wednesday. I did a fantastic, if I do say so myself, Father's Day burger bar. It was a burger extravaganza with an 8-foot-long charcuterie board of toppings. So many different toppings to put on the burger, which would be perfect to put out today. Just throw the burgers on the grill, put the toppings out, and let Dad go to town, you know, and make up whatever he liked the best. We've got that posted up at 312-981-72. I'm sorry, that's our phone number. We've got that posted at www.wgntv.com/Dean Cooks. wgntv.com/Dean Cooks. Let me see here. The 847 area code says, my dad would have been 102 years old this year. All he wanted for us was to have a college education, which we all attained. He immigrated from Poland after World War II and impressed upon us the requirement that we vote. When we turned 18, he took us to register, and we haven't missed an election since. I wish more young people thought like that right now, of the importance of voting. And here's someone who immigrated from Poland after World War II, who realized how important democracy is and having a voice in what happens in government. I wish more people were like that now. That is a beautiful message. And God bless your dad and those wonderful memories. 630 area code. It says, Dean, I read that in some Indian cultures, tears are a form of prayer for someone. I was talking about the amount of tears that you have for someone equals the love that you have for them. And here is someone saying that in Indian culture, that's a form of prayer. I never knew that. I'm going to look a little more into that. 708 area code. Back in the 1980s, my dad took me into Chicago with him in the middle of the night to bail a neighbor out of jail. We still laugh about that today. It's a great daddy-daughter memory. That is a wonderful story when you can go with your dad to bail somebody out of the slammer. that is beautiful. How about you, Paul? Give us some memories about your dad. Hello, you're on WGN.
Hey, Dean. Yeah, my dad was a United Methodist minister in Chicago and pretty much northern Illinois, various cities. And he passed away 28 years ago, this coming November, only days after casting his final vote. You talked about elections and stuff.
Yeah.
But I always remember his great sense of humor. In the early 80s, after graduating college, I was living at home, and I was planning to move out. We had just gotten the pieces of a waterbed. This is back in those days.
Yeah.
And so we brought him in on the Saturday, and then Sunday morning, my dad was not ready for church yet, but he started feeling some pain. So I said, okay, Mom, you go on to the church. I'll take Dad to the hospital. We'll see what's going on, and then I'll meet you at the church. Turned out he was having a mild heart attack.
Mm.
And I checked him in and came to the church, picked up his sermon, went to the microphone and basically ran the service, making my way through my dad's sermon and all this and explaining to them why he wasn't there.
Right.
But he was going to be back the following Sunday. And I said, you know what we ought to do, Dad, would be really fun. There was this Olivia Newton-John song that was out at the time. I said, let's play a little clip of that. And so the song was Heart Attack, Heart Attack, oh, you're giving geez. Me a heart attack.
Oh, jeez.
And then he was able to play that and say, just kidding.
Oh.
And that's representative of the kind of humor he had and what he passed on to his sons.
That is fantastic. That's fantastic. And I love that you are completely complicit. If not driving that, that's yep. fantastic. I love it. Great story. Thank you very much, Paul. Have a great day and happy Father's Day to you too.
Thank you.
So Shawnee, your dad's been gone, two years?
Now? 2 years. Yeah. Two years this past March. That's right.
Mine has been gone over 30 years. 30,
wow.
32 wow. years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to just tell one more story about my dad. And tell me if you've ever had any kind of experience like this where you think you have been visited by somebody who's passed away. My dad, I've told you, my dad was the dad that used to put on a short sleeve shirt and tie to cut the grass. You know, he was always the shirt and tie guy, always.
My dad was too.
Right.
Yeah, that was that generation.
I don't think I ever saw your dad without a tie.
Yeah. In fact, you know, if he was working out in the yard and he needed to go to the hardware store for something, he went inside and changed his shirt.
Yeah. He was always dressed to the nines, yeah. my dad. So when he got sick, I mean, he had a stroke. He had quadruple bypass surgery. He had, like, all kinds of health problems toward the end and was just emaciated by all of that. And, you know, it had been a long time since I'd seen him wearing a suit and tie because he was in the hospital or he was in nursing homes or he was, you know, recovering from stroke or, you know, all kinds of things like that. Then one morning in 1992, it was Mother's Day, 1992, I have what I think is a dream, the most vivid dream that I've ever seen in my life. My dad sitting at the edge of my bed in a suit and tie, looking as sharp as he had ever looked, telling me how good he feels and how he's so happy he's finally going home and getting out of the hospital. And that, you know, and then I wake up from the dream and I was like, wow, that was the most vivid dream I've ever had in my life. And not more than a minute later, the phone rings. It's the hospital telling me that my dad passed away.
Wow. I remember you mentioning this a number of years ago. We had talked about that.
And a lot of people said he came to say goodbye to you.
Yeah.
When I tell this story, people tell me they've had similar experiences like that. So it's you know, a little scary, but so, super comforting also at the same time.
Yeah, and it is one of those, you know, I have not had anything like that, but my cousin and her husband told me a story about their young daughter who was very young when our grandfather passed away. She may have been 3 or 4 years old, and in the middle of the night, she woke up crying, and her mom came into the room. What was the matter? And she said, there was this old man here in the room that kissed me and then left the room.
Wow.
And it was right around the time that our grandfather had passed away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I believe in stuff like that.
Yeah, and that would have been her great-grandfather. But, you know, she was the little girl, and that at that point, the youngest and the newest member of the family. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think I believe stuff like that. I want to be skeptical.
It's really amazing.
But there are some stories and things that, like this, my story is...
Oh, sure.
About, you know, sure. And I'm planning on haunting you, by the way.
Well, just, considering that you're building up a storage of rotten fruit for July the 4th.
And isn't it comforting to know that it's going to last forever, yeah, even after I pass away?
An eternity.
Yeah.
An eternity. It's just call me Prometheus.
Yes. Okay. A little something from the soon-to-be-released Horizon, an American saga, the new Kevin Costner epic. That'll be opening June 28th in Chicago. The first part of this, part one of four parts, three-hour movies about families moving west and the hardships that they face back in the pre- and post-Civil War era in the 1800s in this uncharted, very violent territory. That's really what it's about. Kevin Costner is the director. He's the co-writer. He put up the money for this. He co-stars in it. Very, very involved in it. And this past week visited with us in studio on WGN-TV Morning News. We had kind of a Wild West welcome for him that really you have to see. It wouldn't make sense on the radio. So go on the website or on YouTube and take a look at it if you want to laugh. But a fantastic visit we had with Kevin Costner, along with Dan Ponce and Robin Baumgarten, talking live in studio with Kevin Costner.
Officially, Kevin, welcome. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
With all of this. I enjoyed watching you at the Cannes Film Festival with your kids. And you getting so emotional when they premiered the film, and you even getting teary-eyed during the whole thing. How do you describe like your feeling with that?
Yeah, wasn't prepared for it. It's been a journey. It started, believe it or not, in about 1988. Just thinking about this, almost trying to do it in 2003, and realizing that nobody wanted to make the one I had. So I, in typical fashion, I said I would make four more. And so everybody go, oh, well, let's deal with therapy before you go any farther, Kevin. So I did. With my partner, John Baird, we wrote four more, and no one wanted to do that. And ultimately, I turned to myself, and I thought, if I want to create things, I just have to look to myself. And I did, and I found myself in Cannes in France, in a place, this is a very American story, but when it was over, the people stood and they began to clap and they didn't stop. And I was caught by surprise, and my children were with me and had not seen that level of emotion. And I didn't know. I just kind of kept it bottled up. The camera was about this close for about 8-9 minutes. And finally, I shut out the noise and I went backwards in my life. And I just started collecting the breadcrumbs that would lead me to a moment like that.
Wow.
And it was pretty special.
I bet. And I was watching an old interview you did in 2000 with Michael Parkinson in the UK, and you talking about seeing how the West was won when you were 7 years old. And you were a city kid, and that kind of changed the trajectory of your life, that movie, didn't
Without it? Without a doubt, it did. You know, I went out and built three canoes. I went down the rivers that Lewis and Clark went. You know, I mean, there's, you know, our movies can do that to people. They mm-hmm. can move people to certain things, and our movies do it all the time, and sometimes they don't do it at all. And it's not that they have to. They're not history lessons. They're not whatever. But movies, I think, when they work at their very best, are moments that we'll never forget.
Mm-hmm.
So for Horizon, an American Saga, explain the concept of this, because this is going to be four parts. The first will be coming out on June the 28th. But this is the story of several families, several people, several individuals, all headed west for the hope of something better for themselves and their families.
It's just the beginning. I mean, this march across this nation was over a couple hundred years, and it was difficult, and so many people just didn't make it, learned on the backs of other people the level of experience. You know, we talk about a term, manifest destiny, moving across the country, and really when people would come across this country, they realized it was bigger, meaner, and just than they could even imagine. And once they were there, they weren't coming back. Goodbye meant goodbye. I mean, now we cross the country right in a plane. We have a meal, a movie, and a nap, and you got to put your seatbelt back on. When you said goodbye to your family back then, you weren't coming back. So what do you tell your family when you drag them out to a place where they don't even know how they're going to make it? And you simply say to them, we're going to be luckier than the people who didn't make it. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have told ourselves. That's the promise of America, that if we're strong enough, if we're tough enough, if we're resourceful enough, we'll make it.
Is the way that you're putting this together with the four different parts, is that kind of inspired by how TV miniseries are going now, where people are binging very, very long stories?
Not really. I mean, I don't really follow too many things. I just don't know when. I only stop when I'm done, when I feel like the story has been told. And so if that not doesn't make me in fashion, or if that's just not the way people are viewing things, I don't really know what to do about that. All I know is that I kind of follow my heart and I tell the story. I do it with people in mind. I wish somebody had made this movie for me. This is about people wanting maybe take their kids to this movie. There's a level of violence that's very real, but when you look at your daughters and you look at your sons and you'll say, I do want you to see this, because this is what happened. This is not a land in Disneyland, Frontierland. This is a place where people were on their own. And it's very heavy with women, our story. I don't know if you've seen it, but the women are the backbone of how this story is told.
Incredibly strong women in this story.
They're really performances inside a Western. I mean, acting performances. I think these women were extraordinary.
And so, your son's in this movie, your 15-year-old son.
Yeah, he was 13 when he was dead, and he has my name. That is his name.
He had
name,
a good audition.
My character. You know, so I kind of, you know, figured out a way to have him close, but he was... He was beautiful, and every night we'd drive home, and he'd say, how did I do? And I said, you did good.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah, that's nice. Kevin Costner, more with him in a moment, talking about his new movie series, Horizon. We'll get into that. He talks about his career, his love for Chicago, all when he visited with us this week on WGN-TV Morning News. That's coming up next. All right, coming up, we're going to get to part two of our visit with Kevin Costner, when he stopped by WGN-TV Morning News this past Monday. We had such a fun visit. We had a hilarious, by the way, welcome for him. A Wild West walk down the hall that really you have to see it to completely experience it. It wouldn't make sense to just play the audio here on the radio. So if you go to WGNTV.com/Dean's List, you can see it there. It's on YouTube. Pretty much if you Google it, Kevin Costner, WGN, you'll be able to find it. It's pretty funny. Go and see that. And then we're sharing the full interview with you today that we had with him on the air. And we've got another fairly lengthy segment that we'll get to coming up right after the 12:30 news. But this series that he's got, epic, really, is how you have to call it, is going to be quite
quite the thing when it's all finally put together. It's called Horizon, an American Saga. And part one of it, the first 3 hours, it's long, is going to be released on June the 28th. And then in about the middle of August, they're going to release the second 3 hours of it. So the two attach to each other. He is currently working on the third and the fourth parts of this, each of which another 3 hours apiece. So when this whole thing's done, it's going to be 12 hours of this story of these brave men and women who were headed out west for a better life for themselves and for their family, not knowing what they might find out there. And this is, you know, during the period before and after the Civil War. This is during the period in which we were taking over lands, Native American lands. So it is very violent, I will tell you that much. He talked about, you know, your kids need to see this. And, you know your kids better than, than any of us do. But there's some pretty graphic scalping scenes, some pretty graphic battle scenes that, may not be for everyone. But if you think about it, there really hasn't been an adventurous series of movies like this that are intended to be watched together in a very long time. Really, the only one that I can think of in recent memory would be the Lord of the Rings movies, each of which were about 3 hours, but there were only three of those. So this is even longer. This is four three-part, three-hour movies. Lord of the Rings was three-hour movies, but it's the same concept. It's the, the same story, the same cast. There's a continuity to all of this. When it's put together, is going to be quite something. So he'll talk more about it in the interview. He also talks about his amazing career, the great movies that he's made, actors that he's worked with, classic actors that he's worked with. He talked about filming here in Chicago. I brought up, the Untouchables movie that he did with Sean Connery and some other A-listers. And he talks about the special feeling that he has for the city of Chicago. So all of that is coming up after we get a quick check of WGN News. Coming on June 28th, part one of Kevin Costner's epic film series he's putting together, A Horizon, an American Saga is what it's called. The first 3 hours come out at the end of this month, the middle of August. Second 3 hours come out. He is currently working on parts three and four that also will be quite epic. Kevin Costner, nice enough to stop by our WGN TV studios this past Monday and talk about the movie, talk about his career, his life, have some fun with us. It was a really good time. Kevin Costner has, kind of now become king of the Westerns with a lot of the movies that he has put out and directed and written through the years. And I asked him what he thought was the appeal of the great American Western.
I feel like there's so much drama in them. The tendency is thinking there's so many bad Westerns. There's five or six that I really like, but I've watched Westerns my whole life. I never liked it when the native people didn't look right, the costumes didn't look right. There's something about the mountains, there's something about rivers, there's something about open spaces, and there's something about when there's no law exists, how do you exist? And so we think of it as a simpler time, but it was much more complicated than what we have. We got 50 restaurants within a mile of here. We have this, we have that. They didn't. And they had to make choices without arbiters. There was no agents. There were no police. And that was you can find drama, you can find dignity, and you find every characteristic of human beings if you want to play it that way. If you can play it white hat, black hat, then you're not going to get to what was the struggle was, what the beauty was, the nobility, and you're also not going to see what the struggle was the pain.
I'm wondering if I'm watching this montage and I'm getting a little emotional because I remember where I was when all of these movies came out. They were all epic. This is 40 years. I mean, going back to Fandango, Silverado, all the way through. What is it like watching a montage like that? Mm-hmm. Are you just watching your haircuts, or do you feel like, yeah, I did a pretty yeah good job with some of these?
I can tell how old I was from the haircut, whatever. I don't know. I felt really lucky. I felt really blessed, and I love my relationship with an audience. I love the chance that I get to make a movie in the sense that I love it so much that I'll use my own movie to make a movie if I can just share it. I mean, kids say, let's put on a show in the backyard. You know, refrigerator art, your mom puts it on the thing.
Yeah.
There's something about telling stories. There's something about the theaters when we had curtains and they opened and you knew magic could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to Horizon, it's just the beginning. The second one's coming out in 6 weeks. It's a journey. And you take it by yourself, you know. I mean, I think Bertolucci said, I think the theater is the last place 600 people can sit in the dark and share the same dream.
Yeah, yeah.
You have 7 children. Do they know your movies pretty well? Do they watch them at home ever?
No, I don't think they deal with them. I brought Hayes on to play a role. He was very inexperienced. He looked down. He didn't really know all the things that go with movies because I don't roll them into it automatically.
Hayes is to the right there of the sunglasses?
Sunglasses.
Yeah. He's right next to my daughter, Lily. They both have sunglasses. Yeah. And it's I was a proud moment for me to be there and look at them growing up. And I feel really lucky. I feel like Kinsella a little bit. You stumble on what you're supposed to do. There's something about that in life that I think that everybody wants. It's like, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Because so many of us don't get that chance. And I kind of burnt my ships a long time ago and decided I'm going to make movies. And for the movies that people don't want to make, I'm going to make them anyway.
You said Kinsella, Ray Kinsella from Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
I heard you call that this generation's It's a Wonderful Life. It really is.
I feel like it was on paper. Now, this movie, Field of Dreams, just like Horizon, I always felt bad that I never got to see it and it's like for the first time and not know what it was about and take the ride. And Horizon's that same thing. I'll never know what it's like when you sit there in the dark and the curtain comes and it's an anthill and a stake goes in it. But the difference is I know what that feeling is to be entertained. And that was when I was 7 and I saw the curtain open and how the West played and how the West was won. And I didn't go anywhere. It was somebody who said, it's a 4-hour movie. And I said, I know. And I didn't give up my seat. I didn't even leave for the intermission.
At 7.
I had a magic seat and I wasn't going to give it up.
I wonder if A Field of Dreams is the film that people ask you about most often or reminisce when they bump into
it's
you.
It's not, but they do ask about it. I think that's probably the thing I'm proudest about is, you know, that I don't feel like my career is boiled down to a single movie. Okay. I mean, I would hate it if everybody came up to me and it was the same movie or the third installment of the same movie.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think when people stop me, it's surprising. Any one of about 15 movies might come out of their mouth, and I never know what it's going to be.
That's great.
For us, Untouchables, because you shot it here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember talking
that
to you
me.
Years ago about working with Sean Connery and being in Chicago in a union
It
station.
Marked me being in Chicago. I think that's it's my favorite big city in America. And to be with Sean, and it was for me like the, you know, people, you know, get want to always say, who's your favorite actor? Who's your thing? And it's like, wow, there's a list, right? You eliminate friends, you eliminate colleagues or whatever. But it's like, if I had to boil it, sometimes I'd say, well, I feel like maybe Gene Hackman was the best actor.
Yeah.
And there's the list is long. Who's the biggest star? It was Sean Connery.
Really?
And I love
in the world.
I love that. I don't want to call it a resurgence exactly, because that implies that something went down. But Yellowstone, it was like one of the most watched television phenomena that there was.
Yeah, I
that
remember.
Had to be amazing.
I remember reading it thinking, I'm going to. It wasn't on anybody's radar. And I just loved the writing. And I thought I might just do one season. Then it was 3. Then it was 5. And I really, really love that project. And if there's ever a chance to come back and do it, I know I'll do it if I see the same writing that I saw those first five seasons.
Does that mean the second half you're not a part of, the one that we're waiting on? Is that for sure?
I don't want to blow how they're doing it.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say anything about that
of
thing.
But there's a chance you come back to it?
There's always that chance. Yeah. Are you kidding me? I think there's that chance. But at this point in my life, everything has to line up in a way that feels good, because I still have kids that I'm hauling down the freeway and trying to see their games. And so when you go away to do something like that, you miss stuff. So it needs to be a reason why I go do something.
You know, we found a couple of pictures of you. I think you might be a teenager in these pictures. I just want to get your reaction to.
Yeah.
How old do you think you might be in something?
I'm in the seventh grade.
Look at you. Let's see the other one. Because I have one very similar to that.
That was the year I graduated. Yeah. It was when they finally dropped the lottery going to Vietnam.
Yeah.
Wow.
My brother was in Vietnam, and that terrible war that in some way we still haven't recovered from. But, you know, we'd watch it every night on television, and I was pretty primed and set to go.
Yeah. Were you a graduate then, thinking, I want to be an actor someday?
No,
I want to be a filmmaker someday?
I was lost. I didn't have that same vision that a lot of people. I was always jealous of the people in college that knew exactly what they wanted to be, and found myself in night school looking to my left and right, and everybody was like, had their pencil down, their head down. I'm thinking, God, I'm going to be on the wrong side of this bell graph.
Yeah.
And I read a short little notice in the school newspaper, which was all of three pages, and it said an audition for Rumpelstiltskin. I'm thinking, Rumpelstiltskin, that's a fairy tale, right?
Right.
Rumpelstiltskin. I was terribly excited. Well, and I said, is there a part for me? And I thought, these things have princes. I'll be a prince. I'll go down for the prince part.
Yeah.
Didn't even know what. And that's how it started for me. I suddenly was interested. Mm. And up to that point, I had worked fishing boats and drove trucks and framed houses. But I knew I was a storyteller. Sometimes my dad thought I was a daydreamer, which is code for being lazy, which he knew I wasn't. But I didn't know that you could translate a living into telling stories. And I thought to myself, I need to tell stories that live on, that are willing to be passed down. Because I don't know, there's still a common experience I think we all have, which is, you know, last night I read the best book.
Right.
You know, last night I saw the best movie. I heard the best song that I ever heard on the radio this morning. And that happens. And I wanted to be a part of those kind of sentiments. And to do that, you have to be detailed. You can't give up. And your story has to take people for a ride.
And that's Horizon.
And it all started with Rumpelstiltskin.
Right. Yeah.
There's got to be a prince in
there. That's right.
Were you the troll under the bridge?
No. I didn't get the part. I was just blowing out of the water.
You didn't even get the troll.
Bring up my saddest moment.
Yeah.
No, do it.
Thanks for bringing the interview down, Robin.
Yeah.
Horizon and American Saga.
That's why I've been here for 28 years. Still stuck.
Chapter 1 of 4 will open in theaters June the 28th. And then we'll continue with Chapter 2, August 16th. He's working on 3 and beyond now. Our thanks to Kevin Costner for coming in this morning.
Pleasure to see
you,
Kevin.
Thank you so much, Kevin. We appreciate it.
Yeah, really a fantastic visit. He could not have been nicer, more generous with his time, such a good sport, and very, very articulate about this new movie series that he's got coming out, which is the trilogy. Horizon, an American trilogy that will debut June the 28th in theaters around Chicago. We'll keep you posted on all of that. When we come back, one final thing for Father's Day, a song that was sent in to me by our pal Brian Murphy from the group Aaron Moore. These are the Southside Irish guys that always come in and perform for us. Did it with Word Leonard before me. And he wrote a lovely song and performed a really nice song for Father's Day. So I wanted to share that with you before we get out of here today. Just a quick reminder of a couple of things coming up on the WGN-TV morning news this week. Tomorrow we'll be recapping the Tony Awards, which will be given out in New York tonight. You'll be able to watch those on CBS And we'll show you some of the highlights. There are always terrific performances on the Tony Awards. So that's going to be tomorrow, Tuesday. We sat down one-on-one with actor, activist, singer, Emmy winner, Grammy winner, Grammy winner, Oscar winner. He's got everything but a Tony Award. Common, Chicago's very own Common, who is going to be doing a special performance at the Pritzker Pavilion with the Grant Park Symphony Orchestra. Common and the Grant Park Symphony Orchestra to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Millennium Park. That's going to be very special. So Common talks about that with us on Tuesday. Wednesday on my weekly cooking segment, cold cucumber soup, something to cool down and refresh you in this super hot weather. All coming up this week on WGN TV Morning News.